morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. We have with us in studio our expert in-house lender and biggest Hawks fan around. This is Tom Coyne. Big smile with that. How are you?
I am fantastic. How about that game last week?
Well, I knew you would be. And are you going to be okay this weekend without any Hawks to watch?
You know, it's kind of disappointing, but I'm in a better position than, I guess, fans of 30 other teams, right?
Yes, you are, for sure. Well, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And in fact, we even had kind of a football-themed brokers open this last week. Nice. And just, you know, it's kind of fun. Everybody's having a lot of fun with it. So it's fun to see the community rally around that.
Yeah, it's amazing support that's come out for the Seahawks here recently. But it's a big deal. You know, going to the big game. I don't know if we can say that word on radio.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we're excited for next week and can't wait.
Well, sounds great. Well, I'm glad you're here to help us out with the lending side of things. And we are, as always, we kind of like to start off with our celebrity real estate story. And here's kind of a different idea for you. Oprah Winfrey is finally releasing her hold on some high-end Chicago real estate. For years, she was in that Chicago market, and she has listed a condo she has in what's called the Water Tower for $7.75 million. But this is not a regular condo. So what happened is she originally bought a 57th floor condo in 1985.
Hmm.
And then what she did 7 years later, obviously had some success and as things grow, she bought the unit directly below her for $1 million. And then in 93, she expanded again by paying another $1.5 million for a 56th floor condo. And then in 94, another one came available that she bought for an additional $1 million. So she took, as neighbors' places came for sale, she bought them and then created one two-story gigantic condo.
Wow,
on the
cool
56th
story.
And 57th floors. And it's kind of what some people do when a neighbor's house comes up, or I've seen people here locally, I kind of relate that back, where they've, you know, bought the lot beside them and then expanded their yards. I've seen houses where there was a lot, empty lot beside them for sale, already platted with its own utilities, but they wanted a bigger yard. Sometimes people will buy that, use it for a yard, landscaping for 10 or 15 years, maybe while kids are in the house and using all that, and then it's very easy when you don't need it anymore because it's already platted and recorded to sell that off. So that is quite the property acquisition.
Interesting.
There.
That is interesting.
Total square footage ended up being, in a condo, mind you, 9,625 square feet. So pretty intense plan there for sure, but kind of a different take on condo buying for sure. Well, one of the things that we're talking about today is unique ways to sell your house, kind of outside of just the standard way that things are done or that you would think about listing with an agent or selling your house. One of the things I did is I was putting together some promotional items and some advertising items, and so I had contacted four or five of our sellers that we had helped this last year because I was going to use their name and their situation in some of my advertising, so I needed to get their permission on file to do that. And it was great to talk to everybody and where they've moved across the country and how everybody's at their different houses. I love making those calls and catching up with the clients. But one of the things that the theme that they kept saying is like, Lance, thanks a lot for letting us use your hassle-free program. That saved us thousands of dollars. We're in Tennessee now, and we absolutely love it. So I thought I would talk a little bit about what is our hassle-free listing program, and what does that mean to the consumers and the clients? So when the listeners are talking to their friends or family or hear about listings going on out there, they can give us a chance to have that interview and explain to people. So our hassle-free listing program, years ago, I looked at some of the biggest complaints that people had about real estate agents and what happened. And one of the biggest complaints that folks had is many times they would list their house or just start marketing or put a sign up in the yard, and then a family member or a neighbor or a friend would come to them and say, I can't believe you're selling. I wish you would have told me, because I've always wanted to just buy that house from you. And a lot of times, for many reasons, that tends to happen quite a bit. In those instances, a lot of times people are locked into a single contract for a full bore commission. And, you know, at that point, there isn't a ton of expense into that transaction. So one of the things we developed is that let's put together a flexible rate commission scale that says if those situations come up and happen, that gives the seller the ability to sell to that private individual. Many times they use us still to help them represent them in the paperwork and title and escrow. But let's come up with a discounted rate that we negotiate with the sellers as part of our hassle-free listing so that they can utilize and make that savings.
That's a lot of flexibility that you provide instead of just doing the, say, flat 6% or...
Well, it's one of the things we did is we went through and said, yeah, instead of your standard, whatever that rate may be, you know, it's negotiated between buyers and sellers. Yeah, 5, 6, 7, whatever it is. We went through and we added up. I went through the transactions for the last year and we saved, over traditional listing agreements, we saved our clients $76,000 in commissions last year for our transactions that fell under the hassle-free listing program.
That is a very big number.
Yeah, it was great. That's why those calls went so well to all past clients. So that's one of the things that we do. We also have a clause built into those contracts that if we're doing a deal in-house, if it ends up that one of our agents within our company, within the Kenmore team, ends up finding the buyer, it saves us a lot of money in time, in communication, in working with that file in office, being able to get a hold of the other agent. It doesn't seem like a huge difference, but over the course of 30 to 45 days with the speed of communication, there's a lot of efficiencies that we gain by doing it that way. When we gain those efficiencies, we have that rate that passes that on to the client. And so that's another example of some of those savings that they can say. The second item after the hassle-free listing program that I wrote down is that we run into and come up with as an out-of-the-box different idea in house selling is what we call below-market pricing. And a lot of people are like, whoa, hold on. What do you mean below market pricing? I'm trying to get market price for my house. Well, we always approach every situation with how can we get you, the client, and we've always said the most amount of money in the least amount of time with the fewest hassles. So when we prepare a market analysis for our clients and we're talking with them, we're taking into account a lot of things like how long are you going to be in the house while this is on the market? Are you moving next month? Are you moving in 3 months? Is it beneficial for you to be out faster or to stay in longer? If they look at their carrying costs, that we call it, there's a specific cost attributed to owning that house each month. No matter what, if there's a mortgage, you're going to have your mortgage payment. You're going to have taxes, no matter what, on that property each month, and then the insurance to keep it going. So we look at what is your monthly basis going to be if we carry that house another 4 or 5 months at an above market price. What's it going to be if we look at the average days on the market in the Tri-Cities at about 71 days? And then how is that going to relate to your bottom line? A lot of times people will look at those numbers and say, you know what, we've got about $4,000 or $5,000 that we can play with. Let's come up with what the market price is, and then let's discount the house, that amount, and get a sale in the first week or two. And the way our MLS system works, when you have 600 agents in our multiple listing service, and they're all working with 3 or 4 buyers, and Tom's approved numerous buyers all over town. And when we hit the MLS and the agents look at that, very quickly, that amount of people and eyes looking on properties generally quickly find the undermarket properties, and those homes don't stay on the market. The days on the market, if you look at those homes, will probably be less than 10. So one of the things that we're talking with our clients is about is how aggressive do you want to be? And one of the ways that I do that when I sit down with clients is I come up with brackets. And a lot of times people will look when they do a market analysis and they will say, you know what, we have a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house. So I say, okay, let's do this. Let's look at the 3-bedroom, 2-bath houses and then price you at the top end of that bracket, but you have the 4th bedroom. So a lot of times when people shop, and whether they're shopping for a car or a new stereo or furniture, you try to find what has more features and benefits, but for the same price.
Mm-hmm.
If there's more features and benefits to you for the same price, that's generally the item you're going to buy. Well, it's not that much different in house shopping. So if we can price your four-bedroom at the top end of the three-bedroom, two-bath, you're going to be the first one to sell.
Well, you know, and Lance, there's a lot going for selling quick, and I'm sure I might be jumping the gun here. You're probably going to be talking about this, but if a house sits on the market for a long time and you have to start dropping price, then even though you started off higher, you might end lower than if you just came out competitive from the start.
Well, that's exactly right, because of there is becoming more and more every single day in the world in general, but especially in the real estate market, what they're calling transparency of data. How many homes did your agent sell last year? There's a big fight about this brewing in the realtor associations across the nation. It's one of the biggest topics being talked about in realtor associations, private software companies, and contractors. And that's the release of and the transparency of data. Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, some of these home selling sites have built a business model on making large amounts of data from assessor sites and home sales and making that available to the public. Well, one of the things that the clients become very good about is finding how long has that house been on the market? Why has it been on the market that long? And if it has been, we can probably make a lower offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a great, great point. I hadn't even written that down in my outline. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, good.
Because it leads to a very current issue. The next big issue that's going on is what are the number of transactions volume-wise, how many homes were sold that agents in the market have done, and then is that data going to be released to the public? And so it'll be interesting. I'll kind of keep the listeners up to date as we see those trends happen and that discussion moves forward. But you're going to see that as kind of the next big push in real estate transparency in those data. And we're excited about that. There's no reason for us. There's some MLS issues with, is that data private? Can it be released to the public? And that's what the debate's about. And we'll just, you know, we're very good at adapting. I always say, here's the technology that's moving forward towards us. How can we offer our clients the best advice and be an advisor to them to help them in this situation, regardless of what the transparency of that data says? So, great, great topic. I'm glad you brought that up. Those are two of some of the biggest things that you can do outside of the box to get your household. When we come back, we're going to take a little bit of a... Whoa, I'm stumbling over my words here. Too much coffee. We're going to take a look at auctions and the difference that an auction could potentially make. Is it the right choice for your home sale? When we come back. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about some out-of-the-box ways to get your house sold, thinking a little bit differently than some of the traditional methods and what people are doing in the real estate industry. As always, an integral part of that is the money that people use to purchase these houses, the mortgages, the lending side of things. We've got Mr. Tom Coyne with Sterling with us. Tom, there has been a lot of changes that you've been dealing with. I've been reading some of the articles you've been sending me, researching up so that we know what's going on. But give us a little insight to what's going on in your world and what you've been dealing with.
Yeah, there certainly has been a lot of changes here as the 2014 started off, and I thought it would be good to just highlight some of them that I think would impact our listeners. So the first one I'm going to go over is the down payment assistance programs through the three different cities here in the Tri-Cities now have a maximum sales price limit. In Benton County, the maximum sales price for Kennewick and Richland is $166,000. In Franklin County, the maximum sales price for Pasco is $163,000. Richland, Pasco, Kennewick all have a down payment assistance program. I don't think these programs are as good as they used to be, and I rarely find a need for them anymore because of the various zero down loan programs we have. The reason they aren't as attractive as they were in years past is because the assistance money they provide must now be repaid, when previously it was forgiven after a certain amount of time went by. So either way, there's just another tool or resource for qualified home buyers to use when purchasing a home. The next thing I want to talk about is in regards to the USDA loan program. The USDA Battery Line is now back to Burton Boulevard. I had mentioned it a few times over the last 6 months that the Battery Line was going to be changed on West Pasco to everything north of Sandifer. It's officially back to the Battery Lines we've been using over the last few years. Now, this could change in the future, but for now, it's business as usual. This is really great news because of the new Battery Lines. We're going to eliminate everything that was in between Burden and Sandifer, which is a large amount of homes. So a lot of these homes would no longer be qualified for USDA, and we do this loan a lot. Lance, I'm sure you see this program quite a bit.
Well, we do. I mean, for that area of town, I mean, that's the, you know, USDA, that's the United States Department of
Agriculture,
Rural Development Loan. So traditionally used for rural development, but because of where that was, allowed you guys to do the flexibility of a zero-down rural development loan in West Pasco, which is a popular growing area. And you're right, we've done numerous transactions over the last 3 to 4 years using that program, and a great way for home buyers and a lot of first-time home buyers, too, to get into those properties. So that opens up a huge area, and for sellers that have built some equity up there and want to sell in that area, it's a big tool for us to use when selling your home.
It really is. It just opens the door for a lot of home buyers. And even if it doesn't necessarily, that's not the program they end up going with, it's something that opens the door and says, hey, let's go look at some USDA homes because I know it's zero down out there. So good tool. Glad to see it back to Burton. Now, there's some new laws that came out recently that were issued by the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau regarding what is called a qualified mortgage, or QM. In a nutshell, QM sets the standards for lenders on what is a qualified mortgage. The main part of the rule sets a cap of 3% of the sales price and total fees that can be charged to the borrower. As long as the total fees stay under 3% of the sales price, lenders are protected by these QM rules. QM are rules that are partly being set in place to protect lenders from borrowers coming back and suing them, say, 2 years down the road if the borrower decides they can't make their payment and claims the lender should have known better to not lend them this money. It's kind of a silly piece of legislation in my mind, but it is a rule that we are now following. So it, again, sets the standards for what is a qualified mortgage and what is not. Originally, it didn't really sound like much was going to change for us. However, it rolled out on Friday the 10th, and we did become aware of some changes that we're going to be making. First off, and this is a big change for everyone, origination fees are gone. You will no longer see an origination fee on quotes. Origination fees are now built into the pricing of the loans. So the true par rate will now include zero origination fee. Again, brand new way of thinking for all of us. What you're going to see take the origination fees place are discount points. Discount points aren't counted against the maximum 3% in fees, according to QM, as long as that discount is being used to pay down the rate, which is what a discount does. If you compare rates to before the rule change, the par rate is higher now because there's no origination fee, and essentially the rates are priced up to cover that 1%. However, we can price it right back down with the standard 1% discount to essentially get the rate back to what it would have been. So this is basically what we've always done, just kind of a workaround. We have to really work backwards to get back to what people are used to seeing. But the only program that will still have an origination fee is our State Bond Home Advantage Zero Down program. Now, I've talked a lot about single finance mortgage insurance on the show. This program is basically gone as well because this was going to count against the 3% maximum fees. Therefore, there just basically isn't a way to have this program any longer. In some cases, we still can offer it depending on the loan amount, but instead of single finance in my, we're going to be doing a lot of lender-paid mortgage insurance. This fee does not show up anyone in the good faith estimate of their HUD. It doesn't essentially count against the 3%. We build it into the pricing loan, and we can price it in a way that the discount fee paid by the client actually covers this fee. So this is actually a good change. I priced out a loan yesterday with lender-paid mortgage insurance, and it was actually a little bit better pricing than what the single finance MI is. Now, also because we aren't rolling into a loan like single finance was, clients can get a loan with no monthly, no upfront mortgage insurance at just 5% down.
That's a great change. I mean, so no mortgage insurance.
At all,
and that's with a 5% down loan.
It's a great, great tool. The lender pays your mortgage insurance for you. So as a rule of thumb, the client's going to have a 0.25% higher rate with a lender-paid mortgage insurance than if they were paying monthly MI. However, the monthly payment is still substantially less because it doesn't have that monthly mortgage insurance. It's generally a really good idea for clients. So those are just the updates I had. I'd love to chat with you more about what programs you might fit into. Feel free to contact me at the office anytime at 783-7300. record.
So that's a lot. We're still seeing changes come through from probably what I would call the recessionary lending crisis. And because now it's to the point where, like you said, there's been lawsuits from borrowers that are going back to the lenders and saying, you should have known not to lend me that money.
It's crazy when you say it like that, but it is literally written in these legislatures of why these rules are being set in place. And it kind of blows my mind. You know, I think that people need to have some sort of accountability in accepting a loan and going to buy a $200,000 house. Maybe they should have bought $150,000, but that's what these rules are getting set in place for as far as QM goes.
Yeah, well, boy, I mean, that just blows my mind, too. I know that was buried in a lot of the stuff you were talking about, but I just couldn't let that go without a comment or two. So,
yeah.
And that is that there's a lot of that that's happened nationwide too that didn't necessarily happen here as much, but you have to deal with it because that's, you know, state and national legislature that happened in other markets.
You know, and it's just kind of cliche, but there's that old saying, a few bad ruin it for the rest of the good.
Yeah, so you've had to deal with a lot of that. Well, I hope some of it settles down after we get through some of this, and general trends across the nation are showing that a lot of those housing markets are rebounding. And I think as the pendulum kind of swings back to a normalized market with normalized growth, we'll probably see some of that settle back down. So great information, Tom. Thanks again. We've been sending a lot of clients over recently. The market is kind of heated back up with a lot of showings, a lot of houses going under contract. Thanks for getting all of those clients pre-approved and working with to keep them pre-approved throughout the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much for that. We've been talking about different methods of selling other than a standard real estate contract that you see out there in the marketplace that we sometimes people use as an option and an approach. And one of the things that I wrote down is the auction. And a lot of folks sometimes will say, gosh, I wonder why more homes aren't sold by auction. So I thought I'd go over a little bit of some of the features and benefits of doing something, you know, kind of auction style. This came up when I think one of our celebrity news stories was that Michael Jordan's house was going up for auction. And then about 2 weeks later, we saw the same story that said the house didn't sell at auction and now it's back to a traditional listing. So a lot of people are like, well, how can that happen or why was that? Well, there's two different types of auctions that you can have. There can be a reserve auction where the client has put in a minimum price, meaning if the house doesn't reach that price at the auction, it's not going to get sold. So say it's a market value, appraised value, generally $200,000, and the seller's willing to let it go for $180,000. They don't say what the reserve is because then obviously nobody would go much over that.
Mm-hmm.
But say the client and the auctioneer decide that their reserve is going to be $180,000. They open the auction at $150,000. The bidding starts. Once it goes over $180,000, then that means no matter what, that house is getting sold. The alternative is there can be what many in the industry call an absolute auction. And that means you'll set a minimum opening bid, but the auctioneer has the right to, no matter what happens that day at the auction, regardless of where the price goes to or doesn't go to, the scarier alternative, that house is getting sold. And so there's some of the benefits of that. Number one, in the auction arena, it can cause a bidding war. You can get, you know, two or three people at the auction that are very excited, want a particular piece of property, and they can start bidding against each other. And that can quickly escalate to well over what a client might have gotten in a retail sale because of that. Or a lot of times it generally can shake out really close to market value, meaning that usually you will have a good number, if the advertising was done right, a good number of buyers at that auction, and they will usually settle very close to the market price.
They've probably gone to the auction knowing what a market value is, having a good idea of what they're willing to spend.
Absolutely, and that's usually a good indication. And I've been to many in the Tri-Cities. They don't come up as often as you would think, but I've been to some, and I've seen the houses sell what I thought was over market price. I've seen him sell under market price, and then I've also seen the reserve ones where the house just didn't sell.
So you just never know what could happen.
And that is kind of the fear that prevents it from not happening as much. Too, when it is a reserve auction, you get less people that come because they don't know where that reserve might be. When it's an absolute auction, if you've advertised enough, you'll get a lot more, but you also have that risk of just not knowing. And sometimes that risk with a big, huge investment like a house like that is too much for a seller to take. So it's different scenarios. A lot of times unique properties that don't have a lot of good comparables are good candidates for an auction-style sale. Houses that are drastically over the market price, over-improved, are sometimes great candidates for an auction-style sale. And also, many times, very desirable properties where the location is going to draw a lot of people. So they are an absolute blast to go to. It's a very fun environment to be at. Just make sure that you don't, you know, get an itch or raise your hand too high when you're at these events, or the next thing you know, you've bought a house. So that is one way that people can use different than normal to really kind of maximize the sales value. The last item that I wrote down that you see happen a lot is what are called bonus offerings, agent to agent, or those could be seller to buyer. One of the things that a lot of folks will do is sometimes they will instruct their agent to actually go what they believe is an above market commission, meaning they'll take a look around and they'll say, you know what, let's go ahead and raise the commission, you know, another point or point and a half more than any of my competitors are at, because I want more agents. The best agents are out previewing properties, meaning the best agents are going through properties that they have potential clients might want to see. So they're going to the property by themselves, or they're going to look at five or six, and then they're calling their buyers and saying, you know what, I've done some legwork for you. I've looked at these five or six, and I think this one is the best one. Not a lot of agents, though, will always take the time to preview properties. One way to really encourage the agent to preview the properties and then potentially get in their sphere so they tell it to more of their buyers is to offer an increased commission rate so that those agents know about the property, they're incentivized to get out there, take a look at it, and then spread the word more than they generally would. I've seen everything from, just last week I saw an agent offering dinner for previewing the property. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get more people through. So the seller had agreed to buy dinner, you know, buy a dinner or a gift card for everybody that came through the house. And so if they went and previewed that property, then they would get either entered into a drawing or get a dinner. I've seen people do gas cards for properties that are way out. You know, like, come look at this house and we'll buy your gas. So if the agents came out, showed the house, previewed the house, it comes up on our electronic lockbox reports, then they would get a $10 gas card for coming out to preview the house. So there's a lot of these little incentives or extras that people can offer from month to month, and it really sometimes can increase the traffic, because the more agents that you get through there, you know, we always target the customers and the consumers on the end result also, but the more agents that see it who are naturally working with hopefully between 5 to 10 buyers, you get one or two or three more agents, hopefully you've expanded that sphere by 10, 20, 30 people. And so offering those bonuses are sometimes a great way to get additional exposure for the property,
which sells the house faster.
Sells the house faster, and you generally for more money, because if you have to wait too long on the market, depending upon the location and what's going on, sometimes you'll end up selling it for less. So those are just a couple of the big ones that we don't see a lot. Sometimes they can have great success. Sometimes, like the auctions, they might not. Even some of the other things we talked about, you know, these are just extra little things. They're not always 100%, but sometimes they can make a big difference in the right situation. So if anybody has any questions about some of these strategies or trying these different things or our hassle-free listing program, you can always go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a contact request. If easier, you can always call direct at 727-8977. And Tom, if folks have questions about their current mortgage applications, looking at what the effect of these new rates are versus maybe what they have now, how can they get a hold of you?
Hey, you go to my website anytime at tomcoinhomeloans.com or call me at the office, 783-7300.
And we will be right back here next week on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.